Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Rutendo Mursey.
Very right.
I understand yesterday we kept on calling you way after our conversation. Is that so?
Yes.
Man. You know, we want to apologize for that. And you're wondering, haven't I told these guys everything that I needed to tell them? What they're looking for now? But we do apologize for following you around.
I thought it was a follow-up question or something. But yeah, then when I tried to answer and you mentioned someone else's name, I realized,
yeah,
the spirit is moving, but yeah, it's someone else's name.
Man, you thought there was a big, big question follow-up there. Oh, man. Now, Rutendo, I hope you're fine, eh?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Fantastic. Thank you, man, for asking. Now, we're talking about conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there were conditions. But yeah, we are told that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit moved those who heard the gospel appeal to cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's according to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And that is the question we are asking in today's lesson. What are the conditions, if at all, for receiving the Holy Spirit?
Yes. So let me just start there from that verse there. When they asked that question, Peter responded to them in verse 38 and verse 39 of the same chapter and says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call."
Yeah.
And so the main thing here that Peter says to them is that repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to just go back to the same analogy that we used yesterday. It's the topic here is saying conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So when you are saying receiving, it means that it's like a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
A gift may be there. I can come to you right now and say, "Am I here? I have a gift for you." You can choose to decline that gift.
Yeah.
And you can choose to receive it. But the gift is there, right? So there is the reception, and you can also decline the gift, but the gift is there for you to take or to leave it. So we go back to the same analogy that we used yesterday of the rain, and of the early rain and the later rain, whichever one you choose. But the analogy was about crops, and I hinted, I think at some point in the presentation, that for the crop to receive the water, for the water to do its work, which in this case I might say it's receiving the water, the crop all the other conditions must be right for the crop to receive the water that it receives. If there's lots of weeds, if the plant is not pruned, then there's no harvest that's going to come, even if the rain comes. If the other conditions are not right, then there is nothing. Even when you're planting, you have to make sure that the environment in which you're putting, in which you're placing your crop, your seed, is correct. You cannot just plant your seed. Like, the farmers know that there's different soils for different crops. So you must plant the crop in the correct environment for it to flourish. And so when the rain comes, if a plant is not planted in the correct place, the rain won't do its work. So in a way, we are saying that those conditions that must be right, that is the conditions of receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there for everyone, but it may not be received. The conditions the conditions for receiving are the ones that we are talking about today.
Yeah.
So So the work, for the work to be completed, work must be done around the crop, the pruning, the weeding that we're talking about. And so Peter here is saying, repent. So he's saying, turning away from a sinful way of life and turning to Christ is a condition for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must first repent. So Peter rightfully says that, repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we must first repent and commit our lives to Christ, which is symbolized by our baptism in the verse that we just read now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus also did before Pentecost, when he was speaking to the disciples at some point in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17, he puts it in a slightly different way, but he was saying the same, he's echoing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper,
mm-hmm.
that he may abide with you forever,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of truth. So he first talks about the conditions. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So those are the conditions. I like the fact that the Holy Spirit won't just exercise you, you know, without you willing. Like, it won't just come in.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to want it to come to you. So those are the conditions. You have to want it. And so that's where a repentance is coming in. That's where keeping the commandments of God is coming in.
But
yeah.
but you know, Rutendo, we normally you know, when we are watching you know, on television or elsewhere, you know, people you know, shouting fire, Holy Ghost fire, and you know, there's people falling there and fainting and all sorts of theatrics happening there, and we are told that well, they were receiving the Holy Spirit and it was you know, overpowering them, hence the falling off the floor, etc. So are you saying that not, maybe not? Is that what you're suggesting?
Sam, don't put me in a very difficult condition.
I'm just checking. I know you're not there, so you may not know for sure, but you're suggesting that one is to first give consent, etc. And we've seen many instances where we are told that,
yes.
Well, they were receiving the Holy Spirit and we have not seen any consent, eh?
Yes, and also, yeah, we just preach the truth as it is. We preach what the Bible speaks. It's up to an individual to discern for themselves whether this is what the Holy Spirit does. And I don't think the way I understand God, I don't think he would make a decent man in a suit fall down to the to the ground. I don't know. You know, those suits are expensive, man. They're so expensive. Those men are dignified. They're fathers of families. They're leaders of whole clans, hey? No. Our God keeps our dignities intact. Even sometimes when we are not even dignified, you know, like, no. I want to believe, like, without even going to the Bible, I want to believe that God wants us to keep his dignity intact, eh? our dignity, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Now, you know, with the Holy Spirit, does one then, you know, of course, you talked about the conditions of receiving the Holy Spirit. Can one lose it?
Alas, please come again.
Can one lose it? I mean, we have the conditions to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, having met mm-hmm. those conditions and one or people now receive that Holy Spirit, can they then lose it?
Yeah, I believe one can lose the conditions because the Holy Spirit, because it's not like you receive it once and it's now in, it's now staying there forever. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is progressive. As a Christian, we have to progress. So you have to grow. You don't stay in one place. So like we rightfully read yesterday, I keep referring to yesterday's lesson. There is a progression. There is a harvest that we want to get to. And yeah. So the Holy Spirit keeps coming to you every single day of your life to nurture, right? We talked about it nurturing your Christian life, if I can put it that way. Mm. And so in nurturing, we talked about same analogy of rain, that the rain, there was an abundance of it, but in the middle, it's not silent. There's showers of rain in between to nurture the crop. And so if the Christian life is not nurtured, then yes, you may lose the Holy Spirit because you don't receive it once and that's it.
Yeah,
it means it's a relationship. It's a relationship that keeps growing and growing. Yes.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Now we're going to wrap up our conversation this afternoon. I do want you to think about one last important thing that you'd want to impress on the listener in as far as, the receiving of the Holy Spirit is concerned and what is of critical importance in making sure that one is in a position, to receive the Holy Spirit. I had one preacher one day say, place yourself, strategically where grace will be able to meet you. So perhaps you may want to say a word or two in terms of how do people then strategically place themselves in order to be able to receive the Holy Spirit, if at all that's possible.
Yes, so we need this. As I say, we need to continue studying the Word of God. We must. There is this disconnect sometimes that we have that the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about something or a substance or whatever. There's a disconnect between like the Godhead. Like the Holy Spirit is God.
Mm.
So we need the indwelling of God in our lives. It gives us. It speaks to our consciences. It gives us guidance. It gives us guidance in our lives. He helps us make decisions in our lives every day. The Holy Spirit is the one that compels us in everything that we do if we allow Him. And so if we don't place ourselves where we read the Bible, where we study the Bible, where we make it deliberate that we listen to God. Sometimes we pray, but we don't listen to God, to what God is saying to us. We want God to hear what we are saying. We don't take time to listen to what He is saying to us. And so we have to place ourselves in a place where we can hear God speaking to us, whether through the Bible, whether through, just listening when we pray, whether it's through sermons and everything, and even the stuff that what we fill our minds with, what we listen to, the people that we listen to, the music that we listen to, everything, all of that places us in a place. And also sometimes we put so many distractions that we can't hear God because we have so many things going on in our heads. There's so much that is filling our heads. So the fact that even when you study the Word of God, it's competing with so many other things that you don't hear what you're supposed, you don't get what you're supposed to get from that study. And so we have to make it deliberate. We have to make sure we're not filling our minds, we're not filling our time with so many worldly things that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we won't hear it.
So. Beautiful. Well, Rotendo, thank you so much for your time. Blessings to you and blessings to your family indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. And I do appreciate the time you set aside to speak to us here on AWR. Absolutely, absolutely fantastic conversations. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zama. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.